Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. I'm a one-man car today. No, I'm a two-man car. I've got Dan Schneider in. He's riding shotgun today. Eddie is taking the day off. He's taking some V time. This is the Catholic Briefing, Catholic Intel on Spiritual Warfare, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Take out your war bag. We're going to be giving you some good information so that you can take this information, go out there and evangelize, save souls, slay air. Hey, Dan, are you on, buddy? Hello, is Dan? Okay. All right. We're going to have Dan Schneider on today. We have a couple of topics that we're going to discuss with Dan. Dan, by the way, and Rich will let me know when he's on. Dan is an instructor at Liber Christi. That's the Institute for Catholics in Denver, Colorado, for healing, deliverance, and exorcism. So Dan is an instructor. He's a teacher on healing, deliverance, and exorcism in the Catholic Church. Okay, Dan, good morning. Dan, are you there?
I am here. I've got you, Lima Charlie.
Oh, got it. All right, two-man car. Eddie's taking some V time today, so it's you and me. You and me in the black and white. We're going to be giving some Catholic briefing and intel. We're 10-8 for Jesus, and we're going to be giving some good information to the folks listening out there. Dan, I want to pick your brain about a couple of things, and I've told the audience that, Dan is an instructor. He's a teacher at Liber Christi Institute in Denver, Colorado. He teaches Catholics on healing, deliverance, and exorcism. So this is what I would call the go-to guy. Dan, the first thing that I want to share with you, I want you to listen to a video. I know the priest. His name is Father Goren, and he's a priest. He's in Canada right now. He used to be out here in Texas. And there's a black mass over the weekend. They had a black mass over in Ottawa, Canada, and that's good to see. A bunch of Catholics went out there to protest, over 120 Catholics and a bunch of priests, a bunch of young priests. And I just want you to listen to the video, and then I want to talk about it. Go ahead, Mr. Engineer.
Okay.
We ask the Lord to bless us and keep us close to Himself, protect you from all evil.
All right, this is the bishop from Canada who's telling the lay Catholics praying over them as they're going to go to the
bishop. You need to join with me. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to witness to your faith. Amen.
Thanks be to
God. Senor.
Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you send your precious blood upon these, your sons and daughters who have stood in your name. Father, your son Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me before others, I will be ashamed of them. But whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. Father, these your sons and daughters have acknowledged you, Lord, in this place of darkness. They've let their light shine. They've looked with mercy upon these lost souls, Lord, praying for their conversion. So I ask you, Father, now in the name of Jesus, to pour out abundant blessing. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus against any powers of the enemy that may have tried to cling to anyone here, and I command those powers to be gone now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, to fill our hearts, our spirits, and our souls with the fire of the Holy Spirit, the divine fire at which no evil can approach. I ask you, Blessed Virgin Mary, to wrap each one of us in the mantle of your precious love. I pray, Lord, that the blessing of your precious blood, the blessing of the mantle of our Blessed Mother, the blessing of the presence of St. Michael and the holy angels remain with your sons and daughters, not just tonight, but this whole night, tomorrow, and this whole week. Lord, that your sons and daughters may experience a peace, a love, and joy that only you can give. Lord, I ask now that your Holy Spirit, your mighty Spirit, whom you commanded us to call upon, come now. Come now, Holy Spirit, upon your sons and daughters. Come with holy fire. Come with zeal. Come with life. Come with purity. Come with peace, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. We beg you, Lord, for the conversion of all people, especially these sad, lost souls, Lord, who've come and have been deceived by the enemy. Lord Jesus, we say, praise you. We say we love you. We say we adore you. And now with the priests, we pray.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
And keep up the prayers.
Dan Schneider, that makes me proud. There's over on Saturday, and I want to get your take on this. On Saturday, there was over 200 Catholics that were at a prayer rally. The Satanists were having a black mass in downtown Ottawa, some heavy metal club. You had over a half a dozen young priests there. Father Goran is one of them. That's the one that was leading the prayer. I know him. I know him fairly well. And you have several other priests that were there. They're praying the rosaries, and they're doing reparation prayers in front of this black mass. I want to get your comments on this. Was this a good thing? Were the Catholics doing exactly what they should be doing? What say you, Dan?
Absolutely. This is what Liber Christo tries to do. It works. This was classic spiritual warfare at its best. You started off with the apostolic blessing. I presume they started with a mass by the archbishop. They go out to do spiritual warfare under the protection and blessing of the local ordinary, who is the Prince of Christ on earth in his diocese. The powers of darkness must yield to him because of his lineage back to Christ, his spiritual authority. They go out under the archbishop's blessing and protection and protective prayers. They do reparation. They have a mass, they pray liturgical prayers, they pray the rosary, and then in the end you hear Father Mark Goring doing a prayer against retaliation, and all the priests united now offer their blessing of protection against retaliation. I mean, this was a textbook counter move on the part of the church up there, and it really was beautiful to watch.
I hope and pray that Catholics around the country, they emulate what they just saw here in Ottawa, Canada, and I hope that If black masses are being performed in other locations, this is exactly what should be happening. Bishop, priests, and lay people coming together. And like you said, Dan, they just didn't do this willy-nilly. I mean, I'm glad that let me just ask you another question. What if the bishop didn't get involved, for whatever reason, he's on vacation or just, he's overseas. And if the bishop didn't get involved, could the priest still have led lay people out there, just like you saw, in prayer? And could the priest still have done a binding prayer of protection for the people if there was no bishop?
Absolutely. Now, it's more effective with the local ordinary. What would have, I'm not sure if they did the what's called chapter 3 or chapter 2, depending on the ritual you're using, which is the Pope Leo prayer against fallen angels. That needs to be done under the permission under the authority of the local ordinary, so they would not be able to do some of the more serious exorcism prayers and deliverance prayers without the bishop's permission. Certainly, if the bishop forbade them from going out, they shouldn't go out because they would be going into territory with no spiritual protection. But in this case, they went out and worked it. And most of the bishops are they're behind this. They're starting to see and wake up. We're seeing a movement across the country, both the Pope Leo Institute training priests and Liber Christo and the Society of Father Chad Riffiger, training priests and lay teams in support of our efforts to try to stave back the onset of darkness that's taking place. That St. Paul calls the powers of, the powers and principalities of this world. So it's when it's done in union, in unison with the local bishop, it is extremely powerful. It is extremely powerful.
So this was classic right now. This was classic Catholic spiritual warfare in action. And Dan, were they firing on all cylinders? I mean, the bishop was involved, probably started off with mass. Priests were involved. Are there a bunch of young priests and then lay people praying the rosary? Was this classic Catholic spiritual warfare the way it should be done?
This would have been if you line up the tanks in battle, this is classic warfare the way it's done. I'm assuming that there were priests that were given authority to pray the Leonine, the Pope Leo prayer against the fallen angels, with the lay people there and support prayer. They did the blessing from the archbishop at the beginning. They did an infilling and protective prayer in the end to protect against any retaliation. This is the way the body the body works together. Remember, one of the things we've lost is the idea of this, that the priesthood is ordained towards sacrifice. The priest has a threefold munera, it's called, teaching, governing, and healing. And so the charism is led towards the sacrifice of the Mass. The priest is by nature sacrificial. The lay charism by nature is secular by nature. So lay people working in the secular world to push back against darkness in union with the local authority, spiritual authority, is the way liberation truly takes place. I guarantee you there were spiritual craters left on the battlefield that day from the action of those brave souls that went out there with rosaries in hand and a little nervousness, but a rosary in their hand and a trust in their heart that we're going to draw a line in the sand and say no further.
Amen. You know? You're listening to.
Have you seen that picture? There's a famous picture when I went through jump school at Fort Benning, Georgia, paratrooper school. There's a picture right before you go onto the flight line, and you're gearing up, and there's a picture of this famous 82nd Airborne soldier. I forget which battle it was. Forgive me, paratroopers out there. It's one of the battles. He's standing up to his knees in mud. It's snowing. His whole. But that's the music. We'll come back to this when we finish.
Yeah, I want to hear it. You're okay. On Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, myself, Jesse Romero, Dan Schneider, instructor at Liber Christu. We're going to continue talking about other spiritual warfare topics. Don't change that dial. This is a spiritual warfare at its finest.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. Is going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to or are called to as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murr. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess and Dan Schneider. We're giving you guys some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing, so you guys could put it in your war bag, hit the streets, go out and evangelize, save souls, slay error, and slay demons as well with the powerful prayers of the rosary. Dan, continue what you were talking about in the last segment. You were talking about these seven priests, 120 Catholics, praying outside of a heavy metal bar. Where they're having a performance, a satanic black mass. The bishop started off with a prayer and commissioning them to do so. You're giving some wrap-up thoughts on that before we go on to the next topic. Go ahead.
So the thought that came to mind was this image from jump school, paratrooper school, Fort Benning, Georgia. One of the last things you see before you go out and you're suited up, you got your parachute on, you see this poster. It was a famous poster in the 70s. The story goes this. There was a private, his name was Private First Class Martin of the 325th Glider Infantry Regiment. His unit had been mostly decimated. He was digging in a foxhole, and there was an armored division retreating from the Germans in the Ardennes Forest. This is the Battle of the Bulge. And the tank pulls up, pops out of his turret, and tells the soldier, he looks at the soldier, and the guy's digging a foxhole. And the soldier looks at him and says, "You're looking for a safe place." And this is a tank driver, he says, "Yeah, we are." He says, "Then put your tank behind me." And he says, "Who are you?" He says, this is a famous quote, "I am the 82nd Airborne, and this is as far as the bastards are going." And so what's happening is there has to be good men that stand up and say, this is as far as these guys are going. There's got to be men standing up in their homes and say, this is as far as darkness is going to proceed through my family. We're going to fight. We're going to live our Catholic faith. And there's got to be priests. There are good priests out there, and we need bishops out there to stand up and say, this is as far as these guys are going. This guy was a private first class, and he orders a tank to pull in behind him for safety. You know what I mean? We have to be fearless, because God is going to fight this battle for us. But we have to step out in faith. These priests need to know there's good, holy men that are willing to stand with them and dig foxholes and endure the suffering with them to help drive back the darkness in our families and our parishes and our dioceses. Otherwise, this void has been created, and you know, the rise of paganism is astronomical in the last, say, 10 years.
And these Canadian Catholics did the right thing. Absolutely the right thing, you know, based on what you just said. And we need more of this. And let's go on to another topic, Dan. I've got an article here by Spirit Daily. It's written by Michael Brown. Let me just summarize the article. I want to get your take on it. He calls it A Simple Inconvenient Truth. So the article says that God gave his authority to drive out demons to the apostles and their successors. But for many people in the modern church, that seems to be just a theory, not a practice. And again, Michael Brown says that as a result of the French Revolution, the Enlightenment, rationalism, we've replaced theology and philosophy with more psychology, sociology, psychiatry. And he says in the article that what's happened is that, and I'll give you another analogy. He's a football analogy. If you got a superstar football team, and they're training and training and training, and all of a sudden, all their games are canceled for the season, and they're just sitting in the locker room, they're going to start horsing around. They're going to start praying, grab ass, you know, like guys do in locker rooms. They're going to start eating bad. They're going to start watching raunchy stuff on television, because they were trained to go out there and play football at a high level. The article is saying this, and I know that you're part of the movement of restoring the Catholic priesthood back to the ministry of exorcism. I know you're part of that movement, but for many decades, it kind of fell into disuse. And the article says, so as a result of that, because it did fall into disuse, exorcism and healing and deliverance for many decades, what's happened now is he says, well, our priests are supposed to be soldiers in the battle, but for many decades, this is an area that's been overlooked or not taught healing, deliverance, and exorcism. And so in the article, he's saying, so what do we have? Because we've neglected to send our priests out into this battle, which they were commissioned to by Christ. Michael Brown writes, so what do we see now? Because of this half a century of neglect, he says, well, look at the news. Catholic diocese braced for avalanche of lawsuits under the New York law. Next, Albany bishop accused. Next, Charlton bishop also accused. Next, Diocese of Harrisburg pays out at $12 million. Next, Pell decision due this week. Next, diocese begins investigation of National Shrine Director. The following day, priest faces 45 years for groping youngsters. So the article is saying is because we've kind of dropped the ball in this area. We haven't trained our priests, and this is an area that's fallen into disuse, healing, deliverance, and exorcism. Well, since these priests aren't involved in a battle, well, guess what they're doing? They're out there horsing around, and they're out there being malingerers, and a lot of them are getting into trouble. You read the article. What do you say?
Yeah, I think he's onto something important. Linking back the Enlightenment, and now the Enlightenment is one of those phrases in academia that it can mean a lot of things, but what I think he's referring to is the giving way of tradition to secular humanism. You know, we have mystical theology, we have a rich, deep prayer, a theology of prayer in the church. Spiritual direction, spirituality, and it's really given way to popular psychology. You know, and this idea of there's no miracles anymore. It's all explainable through a socio-political realm. Liberation theology, all this stuff is infused into our seminaries, and the priests get zero training in the biblical, very little training in the biblical languages, and virtually no training in Mariology or in
healing, deliverance,
and zero in demonology, of course. But so oftentimes, you know, you and I had lunch a couple of weeks ago with a priest who said Latin Mass for the first time, and he was getting teary-eyed describing the visceral experience. He recognized something inside of his ontological-oriented nature as a priest of the living God appealed to him, and he realized, holy cow, I've lived, you know, 10, 15 years as a priest, and I'm now starting to recognize who I am. When you get a priest who begins to assert himself, and he sees the power of God, not in him, but through him, because he's a sinner just like you and me. But when the diabolic reacts to the priest, it's like watching Simba eat red meat for the first time after eating bugs and weeds, right? The Lion King. The first time he tastes a piece of red meat, he realized this is what I was made for. And so we're at Liber Christos here to support these priests that are doing what they can to fight back against darkness, and we're just trying to equip them for battle and again dig foxholes and assist these priests in the battle the best way we can. But you're
Dan,
right,
when
we stop teaching Catholic theology, when we stop teaching the base, this is why we refer to Liber Christo. We often talk about reclamation theology, reclaiming the sacred scriptures, reclaiming the fathers of the church, reclaiming the medieval tradition, reclaiming what we know and live. But these saints before us fought evil and battled evil for centuries. Why would we chuck all of that for a new modern theology that really is worthless in battle?
Dan, let me ask you a question. This article that written by Michael Brown, would you say that the average Catholic priest receives very little to no formation in spiritual warfare theology? That course I took under Liber Christo for a whole week, I would assume that that's probably basic training for every Catholic priest in seminary in 4 or 5 years, what I took in that 1 week. Is that the case?
I don't think so. You know, I think the emphasis, again, it shifted away from the dignity and identity of the priest, vocation, of the holy vocation of priesthood, sacramentology. And it moves, there's an emphasis on pastoral theology, the pastoral response, these sorts of things. And that's all fine and good. But the pastoral response doesn't help you when you've got a soul manifesting in front of you in the confessional, or a soul manifesting in front of you at the very sight of you, a demon manifests to an individual. The pastoral response to the Black Mass would be, well, we live in a pluralistic society, so we need to let them do their thing as long as they don't bother us. We don't bother them. These people are invoking the power of darkness, and the more we allow this to happen, the more darkness is empowered in our society. The more sex abuse takes place, the more child abuse that takes place, the more domestic violence takes place.
Dan, you're going to agree with this article then, because that's exactly what the Michael Brown is saying here. Is it, when you take spiritual warfare away from the priests and the bishops, and you move more to pastoral theology or just psychology, well, what are you going to have? You're going to have more diabolical influence within the church, because we're not training the priests on how to fight. And there's so many verses in Scripture where God is ordaining our bishops and our priests on how to fight. I mean, the list goes on. Mark 16:17, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. It goes on and on. These are these are verses that are being written to the apostles and their successors, the priests. But if they're not busy training in this area, what I call MMA fighting, mixed martial arts, you know, Catholic mixed martial arts, if they're not training in this area, then they're going to be busy as, like, you know, young football players in a locker room playing grab ass with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this, it's going to be a less, it's going to be just end in feudalism. What we've got is we've lost the understanding of the sacred charism, the sacramental charism of the priesthood. And so if you look at, for example, Luke 9, verse 1, he summoned the 12 and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So we see the threefold gift of the priesthood: to proclaim the gospel, to preach, to heal the sick through the sacraments, and to drive out demons, to have authority, right, to rule, not just to rule in their parish and make decisions through the parish council's advice. We're talking about ruling over the powers of darkness. When the priest recognizes that, you know, getting every priest to consecrate their parish to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to consecrate their parish, to pray the chapter 3 over their parish, to drive darkness out. Otherwise, if you don't, darkness will fill the void. You know, they will fill the void. And guarding the Eucharist, guarding who you let onto the altar, cleaning up our liturgical practices. This all comes from a priest that's well-formed and able to proclaim the gospel in the fullness, full-throated proclamation of the Roman Catholic faith, which has been beating demons for 2,000 years.
Then I want to move on to another topic on the next segment. I want to talk about this young guy that's on television. His name is Zach Bagans. He's all over the television with his series called The Ghost Hunters. And I'll share a little bit about him, and then I want to get your take on what you think about what he's doing. Is he on target, or is he on the danger zone? So we'll go a little bit into ghost stories and Zach Bagan, the founder of The Ghost Stories. And you're listening to Jesus 911. My name is Jesse Romero. My partner today, two-man car, Dan Schneider. He's a presenter. He's an instructor along with Father Ripperger's Institute called Liber Christu. And he's an expert in this area. He's an expert in spiritual warfare. And so this is the top of the food chain in the Catholic Church that I'm bringing you here on Wednesdays. And we'll continue. We're going to move on to ghost stories, because I know a lot of Catholics watch ghost stories, paranormal activities, sci-fi series. So I'm going to ask Dan, are these things dangerous? What about the producers and directors? Are they in danger? Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys.
I love it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome to the MMA, Mother Mary's Army, with your two instructors, Jesse Romero, Dan Schneider. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you know, this is our spiritual warfare programs. And we've got the top of the food chain here with Dan Schneider. I would consider myself a junior instructor of the MMA. I have a senior instructor of the MMA, Mother Mary's Army, UFC, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. Dan, we got a phone call before we continue on to the next topic. We got Anonymous calling from Stockton. Anonymous, you're on. Go.
Yeah, good morning, Jesse and Dan. My question is this. Can you explain a little bit of the difference about oppression and obsession? And how do I go about helping someone that's being oppressed or obsessed by a demon? Like, what steps should I help the person? What can I do to help this individual?
Okay, Dan, you're on.
Yeah, when you're getting into the distinction of extraordinary diabolic activity, threefold: oppression, obsession, and possession. So the lowest level of extraordinary diabolic activity, meaning it's beyond just normal temptations or even a heightened temptation. Some people would refer to it as a vexation or just a highly emotional temptation that lingers. At some point, the soul is broken in a way that the demon is allowed in and now becomes more present. It's still exterior to the soul under oppression. And so as the soul begins to drift away from God and towards other unholy practices and people that don't reorder his life towards God, the demon drives the soul towards obsession. Obsession itself is another three steps. And still, even at this point, anywhere up to mid-level obsession, the soul can self-deliver. God has always given, he's given us humans the Psalm 130 privilege, out of the depths I cry unto you, so that any time we can reorient our lives, cry out to God for mercy, and we can start over. So encouraging the soul, the most important thing is to stop justifying your behavior, stop blaming God, stop recoiling from suffering in the cross, return to the sacraments, return to the practice of their Catholic faith, daily rosary, weekly confession. The sacraments are our protection against evil. We need to understand that as Catholics. Our protection are the sacraments. So living our sacramental vocation, our primary orientation to God, comes through our sacramental orientation as married men and women, most of us, except for the clergy and the religious. So living that vocation justly, eliminating all impurity from our marriages, from our sexuality, practicing the church's teaching on sexual ethics, and coming totally clean before God in the sacrament of confession, reordering our lives to prayer, we begin to reverse the effect of that. But it's really not that difficult. It's reorienting our lives and living our Catholic faith. It's again, up into a certain level. Once you get the high level obsession and possession, you're going to need an ecclesial response, a sacerdotal response from the church. But for what you're describing, oppression and even low-level obsession, self-deliverance is extremely possible. Following the Liber Christo method, we're seeing self-deliverance take place, oftentimes just through a discipline of prayer, reorienting of one's life, purging life of all ties to evil, and going back to the sacrament of confession and Sunday Mass. Liberation often takes place if it's just oppression or obsession.
Let me just throw one more thing for Anonymous in Stockton, California. Go to the website auxiliumchristianorum.org. auxiliumchristianorum.org. There are prayers there. Those are deliverance prayers written for Catholic laity that you should be praying, and the person that is oppressed that you're calling upon, they should be praying those prayers every single day. Every single day. It only takes 5 or 6 minutes. The website is auxiliumchristianorum.org, and the prayers that are written by a team of exorcists are written for lay Catholics for self-deliverance. And also have the person read the requirements, because there's a link there that says requirements before you start reading the prayers. It's going to say, you've got to go to sacramental confession. You got to start going to Mass on Sunday. You have to start praying the rosary every day. So if you follow, basically what Dan said is just right out of that website there. If you follow the requirements of that website written by a team of exorcists, auxiliumchristianorum.org, and the person says those prayers every single day, they will be able to self-deliver. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah, that, exactly. Live the Catholic faith. Live the Catholic
Anonymous
faith.
Question? Exactly. You got a question, Anonymous?
Yeah. I actually have suggested all of those things. Confession, prayer, fasting, going to communion, receiving communion, going to Mass. Even the Auxiliary Christian Norm prayers, I've suggested all that. But this person, this individual is, I don't know if lazy, slothful, I guess would be the proper word, does not do this stuff. And
that's very common.
How can I help?
Very common. The person's will has to engage. At the end of the day, we cannot sit. Well, St. Augustine said this, God who created us without our consent will not save us without our consent. So a lot of this is a true ministry of accompaniment. You must accompany that soul, and you start praying the prayers for him. You start offering sacrifices for him that his will would loosen up. And little by little, it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to take time. Because what you have is a psychological obsession of some kind, a hurt over a death, the death of a loved one, a broken relationship, physical suffering that creates some psychological obsession. And in that psychological obsession, the diabolic becomes attracted to the person and starts creeping in because the person's mind is so wounded and projecting this brokenness. And so praying for their healing, accompanying them, encouraging them, but ultimately they have to be the one that say, you know, no mas.
Okay, Anonymous from Stockton, thanks a lot. Keep listening to the show because we'll keep on giving more information, more intel on how to overcome these things. But thanks a lot for the phone call. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yep. Dan, let's move on to another topic. Okay. Dan, I want to pick your brain on something else. Dan, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You've probably seen on television, there's a bunch of documentaries on the paranormal and preternatural, a whole bunch. One of them being a show called Ghost Hunters. And the guy that came up with this movie, Ghost Hunters, is a guy named Zach Bagans. Now, the article I have, let me say a couple things and I want your comment. It says this. So it is that pouring forth from the television are now mediums scoping out haunted places and speaking with invisible occupants, or misguided young folks with equipment they think can gauge the presence of spirits, brave and naive, the article says, for meddling with the spirit world is not just necromancy forbidden by the Bible, but also pure danger. The article says, but no one in that regard is more unsettling than the crown prince of ghost hunters, Zach Bagans, who made documentaries before starring on the Travel Channel. Zach Bagans recently purchased a house in Gary, Indiana, that was a scene of extraordinary demonic phenomena, even by standards of Hollywood. We did a special report interview with the priest who exercised the place. This was real stuff. And while filming inside his newly acquired property, Bagans became so ill he couldn't leave his room for 8 days, and problems plagued his crew to such an extent that they all swore off the place. Crew members quit or were fired. Witnesses and experts were hospitalized. They went through so much that when a documentary on the place was aired, Zach Bagans put a disclaimer on it, said, view at your own risk. So a couple of questions here. And you've probably read this article because I sent it to you yesterday. Is this dangerous stuff for these young men to become ghost hunters, spirit hunters, and chasing one preternatural paranormal event after another? What do you say, Dan?
Well, absolutely. This is not done in any sort of the opposite of curiosity is studiosity. This is done out of curiosity, number one. And it's exploring what in theology we call inanimate agency. How can we have inanimate objects become agents for something supernatural? So we know that as Catholics, you know, I'm wearing a scapular and a St. Benedict medal. I'm carrying a rosary. These are inanimate objects that are used to confer grace. The evil one mimics all things Catholic. It mimics the Church of God and our sacramentals and uses evil objects to also convey supernatural power. So, working in cursed places, cursed objects, the demon doesn't care if it's a person, a place, an object. Whatever his assignment is his assignment. So he's going to work and militate against Christ and the church. So by walking into these places, somebody, this is a lighthearted example, but somebody from Michigan recently I saw, and he showed me a picture of a Michigan fan standing in the middle of the Ohio State student section in Columbus. That's a very dangerous place to be. For a Michigan fan, right? And we all know that. We joke about it. But imagine if you're completely in the wrong place. You have no authority here. You're wearing the other team's uniforms. You got the mark of Christ in your soul from baptism, and you walk into a place that has been marked and territorially belongs to the Prince of Darkness. You're vulnerable, and you're there for curiosity reasons. This is why we don't go into anybody's homes unless after a period of time, the priest goes in to do a blessing. We only meet on holy ground because we have no authority there. We have no authority in your home. So yeah, you're opening yourself up to diabolic oppression. We see this in this article, the things that the crew and their suffering is for that very reason. We got a call recently of one of these teams went into a lady called, and rather than calling the church, she calls the supernatural paranormal team, and the demon or demons trashed their equipment in this person's house, and they're calling. We're like, well, how'd that work out for you? You know, so you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it because you're outside of authority.
Dan, let me ask another question here.
Protection. Yeah.
There, in the article, it talks about this couple. I read about them years ago. They were apparently Catholics. They're called the Lorraine and their names are here. She just passed away. Ed and Lorraine Warren from Connecticut, apparently they were Catholics and they were like a famous ghost hunting team over in the East Coast. In their house, they had a museum of all kinds of things that used to be infested from houses that were infested. You probably heard about them. And I think here it says in the article that this guy, Zach Bagans, has purchased some of their equipment. And he's talked about some of the bad stuff that's occurred as a result of buying this equipment. What about? I mean, I know they've gone through their eternal judgment, and I hope they found God's mercy. Ed and Lorraine Warren. But I want you to answer: was that a dangerous practice, Ed and Lorraine Warren, to lay Catholics that consider themselves ghost hunters having infested items in their house? In fact, they had a room full of infested items from houses that had diabolical activity. I want you to answer that question on the next segment. We'll be right back.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol. Two Catholics with PhDs in common sense, myself and Dan Schneider. We're actually two instructors in the MMA, Mother Mary's Army. I would call Dan the senior instructor. I'm the junior instructor, very junior. Dan, let me just rephrase that question for those that are just tuning in. There was a Catholic couple. They were rather famous for many decades, Ed and Lorraine Warren from Connecticut. And secular people used to call them a ghost hunting team. I don't know what they call themselves, spiritual Catholic lay spiritual warriors. Nonetheless, they were very well known, in fact, and they were also experts in some of the movies that Hollywood has put out on exorcism. They were consultants to many movies, but they had a house in Connecticut where they had one room dedicated to nothing but evil objects that were cursed and that had been found in houses that were infested with demons. So what do you say to Catholics? Should they have these type of items in their house, Dan?
Absolutely not. You need to take your grandpa's Masonic Bible and apron and burn it. You need to take down your dream catchers and burn them. You need to take all these objects that are, again, I mentioned inanimate agency. These are objects that are used for evil purposes, to invoke foreign deities that militate against the living God. Those things need to be removed from our houses. We need to have Catholic homes. We need to have images of Our Lady, images of the saints, images of the crucifix. We need to have our homes blessed. Because when we allow impurity into our homes, then you're giving an entry point, a holding point for the diabolic to go to work. They don't need much. They don't need many permissions to start claiming rights and privileges against us. So no, all that stuff needs to be gone. All that stuff it just fuels curiosity. At the end of the day, it's just glorifying evil. You're attributing to your, it's a violation of the First Commandment. I've destroyed many, many objects over the years, Santeria altars, cursed Barbie dolls. You know, when you really, at the end of the day, begin to see what these are, you watch these creaturely objects burn, you realize that this is a grave violation against the First Commandment. I am the Lord God Almighty. You shall know our false gods but me. And so by exalting evil and glorifying evil, we're really participating in the denigration and the blasphemy of the living God.
Dan, and you're doing basically what St. Paul said to do in Acts chapter 19. The Bible records that St. Paul would take objects, that occult objects, and he would destroy them and burn them. It's in the book of Acts, yeah, chapter 19. So Catholics, we're supposed to follow that New Testament protocol, right?
Exactly. And as we get, here's the thing, though, in our Enlightenment, post-Enlightenment church, these things like, sacramentals, holy water, all these other things are considered, oh, these are preconciliar. These are old church. We're enlightened now. We don't need all this guardian angel prayers. And these are childlike things. Not true. Not true, because the enemy is unfolding an entire arsenal through this type of stuff. We're seeing it more and more. Cursed objects, the Santeria, the Wiccan practices, all these other things, Gudanismo, did I say that right?
Yep.
These things are inviting evil into our culture and into our homes, and they're using objects. They're not just saying, here's my special potion, or my special words. No, they're invoking foreign deities, false gods or demons, and placing power upon objects, and that object, therefore, is cursed. So we see, like in the article, talks about stuff from a horror movie, stairs from this cursed house, etc. We need to avoid this stuff like fire. You know, we need to avoid this stuff. It's just we need to be like when they train clerks, bank tellers.
They never let them ever touch a fake dollar bill. And so when they finally get on the job, when they feel one, it just spits itself out of its hand. We need to have that level of discernment as Catholics between the clean and the unclean. And our culture, little by little, is inverting the clean and the unclean. And it's turning everything upside down to where we can hardly tell what is clean liturgy, what is clean sexual behavior for married people, what is clean practices of our own faith, what we should allow into our homes. We're losing that as Catholics because we're losing the very basic understanding of the Catholic, not just orthodoxy, but orthopraxy, right thinking, but also right practice of the faith.
Amen. You're listening to Jesus 911. I've got Dan Schneider, and he's a two-man car. We're on Soul Patrol. Dan, I got an email question. I answered this question, but I want you to supplement my answer. Somebody emailed me, Jesse, can demons repent after they have sinned? I responded, it is not possible for demons to repent after their sin. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, the will of an angel cannot change after it has made a choice because the angel or fallen angel sees with much greater clarity the object of his choice and hence his decision about that thing is irrevocable. Angels are midway between the immutable God whose mind and will are unchangeable and human beings whose intellect and will are clouded by the flesh and therefore always changeable. Humans have to be trained to choose the right things over time, but they're still free to choose evil. Angels, however, don't have to be trained. Once they grasp something, they know it in its entirety, and they cannot change their choice for good or for evil once they have chosen it. That is to say that their choice of evil is always a mortal sin because they always give a deliberate consent of the will with full knowledge about matters which are always grave. And because of the angel's superior knowledge, they remain for all eternity obstinate in their sin. Any additions to that?
No, there's nothing we can add to St. Thomas.
Okay.
But that he says, that's it, you answered it correctly. Now, that what that error stems from is some speculative theology from Origen, where he, in his speculation, this was not the teachings of the church, but Origen, who was the father of the church, an early church father from the second century, wrote some speculative theology that at the end, all things will be recapitulated in Christ. But that was denounced at several councils, and Thomas clarified it for us very, very succinctly in the Summa. Once the angel makes his decision to rebel, that decision is fixed, and he becomes a fallen angel for eternity, and his punishment will be for eternity.
Dan, I got one last question. We got about 3 minutes. I want to ask you about repressed memory, and I say that because you have a good priest for, there's just one of many cases, but there's a good priest over in Michigan who's been accused by a victim of improperly touching him over 40 years ago. And this is a good holy priest that has a stellar reputation that offers the Latin Mass. And he's just very liturgically orthodox. He's one of the great confessors in the state of Michigan. He's got a reputation. He was a good friend of Father John Hardin. And all of a sudden, there's this accusation that he improperly touched somebody over 40 years ago. And the person is saying, oh, yeah, I know that because I had a repressed memory, but now I remember. What right. Do you say about repressed memory?
Well, I think it is a extremely dangerous and dubious practice. I would refer you to a Harvard psychiatrist, Richard McAnally. He said this in a court testimony, quote, "The notion that traumatic events can be repressed and later recovered is the most pernicious bit of folklore ever to infect psychology and psychiatry. It has provided the theoretical basis for, quote, recovered memory therapy, end quote. The worst this is what he calls it, the worst catastrophe to befall the mental health field since the lobotomy era." That's how false science this leading psychologist at Harvard, well-known psychologist at Harvard, says about it. So it is a pseudoscience, and it's extremely dangerous. And if we allow this into our church, the different circles, Father Yosef, the Healing of Families, if we allow this in, anything can happen. I've had people say, oh, I did this program and I saw myself at birth. And I said, well, no, you didn't. You didn't. You had a projected memory that was either your own emotional desire or diabolic projection. And so now if we allow
Define diabolical projection, Dan. Define that. Give us. 2 minutes.
It could be a demon projecting a memory. It could be a demon projecting a memory into you because you have a vulnerable mental state and you have a broken psychological emotional state. You have mental illness, and it could be a diabolic projection. This priest touched me, and he didn't. And we see that. And to go after a priest like this, if we allow this to happen, it's going to wreak havoc in the church. So we have to fight against that. This is a false scientific methodology that needs to be checked and critiqued more closely.
And it only makes sense that it's funny. All of a sudden, when there's a good holy priest involved, something like this happens 40 years ago, and the person remembers as a result of repressed memory. Coincidence, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, well, thanks a lot, brother. Thanks a lot for coming on. This was Dan Schneider. He's an instructor and a teacher, along with Father Ripperger, at the Institute of Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism called Liber Christu, liberchristu.org, if you want to get some of his talks that are recorded. And Dan has also been a lecturer over at the Leo XIII Institute, Mundelein Seminary, at that School of Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism as well. Dan, it's always a pleasure having an expert on Wednesdays. And we'll have to do this again, my friend. Thanks a lot. God bless you.
Let's do it. Thank you. Thanks for letting me ride along.
You got it, partner. God bless you.
Thank you.
That was Dan Schneider. He's 10-7. He's off duty now, and I'm still 10-8. I just want to mention to you, to all my friends out there that would enjoy going out in a trip with myself and my wife, Anita, we are going to Poland. Yep. I've got all the information on my website. We've got a trip to Poland, Texas. To the country of Poland. I'm thinking about Texas because I got a speaking engagement over there. It's May 13th to the 22nd, 2020. So if you want information, it's the 100-year birthday of St. John Paul II, the centenary celebration of the birth of St. John Paul II. I'm going to be going there with a young priest, Father Arturo Bazan. He's going to be offering the Latin Mass every single day. A very holy young priest. He loves to wear his cassock everywhere. And if you want to go to a good retreat for 9 days in the most Catholic country in the world, go to my website, May 13th and the 22nd, pilgrimage to Poland with myself and my wife, Anita. And also this weekend, I'm going to be with Terry and I'm going to be with Father Calloway this weekend. We're going to be over in California. Absolutely. We're going to be at California at it's called the Holy Martyrs Church Divine Conference at Margarita Middle School in Temecula, California. That's this Saturday. Myself, Father Calloway, and Terry Barber. Well, that's a wrap. I'm going 10-7. I'm going off duty. My name is Jesse Romero. Up next, Sensei Gary Machuda. I consider him the black belt of Catholic apologetics. Stay tuned for hands-on apologetics in the dojo with Sensei Gary Machuda. And as Catholics, I want to remind you, wake up to Jesus, Catholics. Wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Yep, there's going to be a global warming, and that's when Jesus comes back. The question is, are you ready? If you live ready, you don't have to get ready. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.